In this way the radiating power limits itself, and at the edge of manifestation farthest removed from the center it becomes a hard, material rind or crust. For this reason, the picture, the name of God who manifests himself in the visible world is a circle, an inner circle of higher powers surrounded by a hard, material rind or crust. Expressed in letters, the symbol is Om. All creatures, from the central suns down to monocellular beings, are built according to this principle. Look at a cross-section of our Earth. In the center, the mighty forces are still in the evolutionary stage of the fire circle. Next come the gaseous regions, then those of the molten or liquid circles, and the outer form is the rind of hard matter. But I want to tell you too that another opposing force, centripetal force, is also active at the same time, drawing all material manifestations inward towards itself. And if hard matter were not sufficiently resistant, all manifestations of life would be drawn into their own centers and disappear. Even our Earth, with all the forms of life upon it, would suffer this fate. The resistance of matter prevents this from happening, and only for this reason is it possible at all for creation to exist and life to have come forth here on this hard, material crust of the Earth. Don't forget the resistance of matter, because we shall talk about it again. Here is another example to illustrate the inner structure of material forms. A section through the spinal column of any vertebrate shows the same construction, the extremely fine substance of the marrow of the backbone carrying the creative power of life, developed and protected by the hard crust of bone. Whatever bone you cut, be it skull, vertebra or leg bone, you will find the same cross section. If you cut the stem of a plant, you will come upon the same pattern. Have you ever looked at trees after they have been felled? The inner structure of the tree is exactly the same, radiating from the center circles of vital energy, fed by the finer matter of the tree's innermost substance. The annual rings reflect the yearly radiation of life in the tree that takes place very spring, surrounded and protected by the outer ring of hard bark. Growth always starts from the center and radiates outward. The innermost source of all powers and manifestations is God. This aspect of God, who is clothed in matter and makes living beings out of created forms and which we call the higher self, Logos, is what draws us back into our own center, since we have fallen from the divine unity, from the state of paradise. It is the heavenly bridegroom for whom the human soul longs. One should never mistake this divine self for the personal I, which higher self has no true existence and is merely an imaginary being. The vital source behind every form of manifestation, be it a sun, planet, human being, animal, plant life or inorganic matter, is one and the same God, the same divine self. Although the same God is everywhere present in every creature, he is manifest in countless different variations, because God reveals himself on every single level on which manifestation is possible, and the created forms manifested on these various levels reveal only as much of God as each form can consciously experience and bear of the divine creative force, corresponding to its own level. To consciously experience force means being this force and simultaneously radiating it high all directions, including into one's own body. For this reason, the body too must have adequate power of resistance, otherwise the radiations of the self would burn and destroy it. Hence the bodies of the various manifestations of life are not made high the same way. On the contrary, the matter composing them is of different degrees of resistance, corresponding high each case to the level of consciousness of the manifestation of life concerned. You know that the chemical composition of matter determines which vibrations a body can support. When a body is subjected to a radiation in excess of its resistance, this harms its entire nerve system, and can lead to a nervous breakdown and even to mental derangement. When the number of vibrations of this force exceeds the scope of an octave, the force even becomes lethal. This is why, when we want to initiate a person into a higher degree of divine power, we must first prepare his body, subjecting it among other things to a chemical process, in order that the difference will not be more than one octave at the most. Otherwise he dies. In the material world there are four levels of manifestation which we call matter, vegetable life, animal life, and human life, depending on the outward appearance and the degree of consciousness attained. Compared with the human being, we can hardly speak at all of the consciousness of matter, and yet a crystal may serve to show that matter too has a sort of consciousness. Each level of manifestation of life is characterized by its own degree of consciousness, which is one octave removed from the next. Only man has the power to manifest several degrees of consciousness, all the way up to the divine level. If we keep in mind the intervals, octaves, by which we classify levels of evolution, we find that man, as a category, occupies four steps of the great ladder of evolution reaching from earth up to heaven. Furthermore, we see that each step corresponds to one octave on the scale of vibrations. Man knows about these four steps or degrees and has given them names: man characterized by his intellect, genius, characterized by intuition, prophet, characterized by his wisdom and universal love, and the last and highest degree, that of the God-man, characterized by his omniscience and omnipotence. Thus, in the material world, we find four manifestations which together reveal seven octaves of vibration. Every creature emits the vibrations of which it is made, that is, those which it consciously supports. Matter, the very lowest degree of consciousness, manifests itself only through contraction, cooling off, and hardening. The plant manifests itself on two levels, the material level and the level of force, vegetative force, that gives life to it. The plant manifests material vibrations unconsciously, it carries its body like a dress, but its level of consciousness is the vegetative level of force giving life to matter. Force manifested on this level has three distinctive aspects by which it can be recognized wherever it appears: the search for food, the taking in of food, and the assimilation or digestion of food. The animal manifests three forces: the material, the vegetative and animal. It has a body, it seeks out its food, eats and digests and is conscious on the animal level. It has emotions, instincts, urges, feelings, sympathy, antipathy and desires. The animal is conscious in the third developmental stage, only one degree lower than man. The average man stands one octave of vibrations higher. He is conscious on the mental level. He has intellect and the ability to think. But at the same time he manifests the three other levels. On the material, he has a body; on the vegetative, he seeks out his food, eats it and digests it; on the animal, he has emotions, drives, sympathy, antipathy and desires. But his most outstanding characteristic is his intellect. Man thinks consciously. With the next degree of development, man makes a great jump. He lifts his consciousness out of the world of effects into the plane of causes. He draws on the divine source of the causal plan and manifests this force that appears in his consciousness as intuition. With the help of his intellect and spiritual power, he is able to express his experiences on a higher plane in words and transmit them to his fellow men. He can also prove the existence of his intuition in other arts, without dimensions, in music, as a composer, in two dimensions with lines and colors, as a painter, in three-dimensional forms as a sculptor or as a dancer. People call the creative person a genius. He manifests the five octaves of vibration of the material, vegetative, animal, mental and causal forces. The degree of consciousness of the next higher octave of vibrations, in the language of human beings, is called that of a prophet. The prophet manifests all the forces that work on the previously mentioned planes of consciousness, but he is also conscious on the next higher level too, the plane of divine wisdom and universal love. We must be careful never to confuse this universal love, which is manifested on the sixth plane and is a completely spiritual power, with the love of the third, animal plane, which is the manifestation of animal instincts. This latter love is a vibration operating three levels lower, at the source of which is the urge to propagate the species. Such love is desire for possession and always only seeks the body. It forces a person to come close to the loved one, and embrace, kiss, and hug him or her, In a word, to possess. Whoever is subject to this kind of love is still living in his consciousness in the condition of dividedness and separation and seeks a complementary physical partner in order to find satisfaction. This love always seeks to take, to have something, to possess. Love in the sixth plane of manifestation, the love of the Prophet, does not come from a condition of division, but from the primordial condition of divine unity. Hence, this love is universal, always giving, never taking, needs no supplement, no physical manifestation, but always radiates from the consciousness of divine all unity. People who are conscious on this plane do not want to possess anybody, they feel themselves one with the infinite all. The seventh and most perfect manifestation of God is the completely conscious man, the God-man. All other forms of revelation manifest only transformed vibrations, only part of God. A God-man is a person who manifests God, his own divine self, completely and perfectly through a perfect consciousness, one who experiences and radiates the divine creative forces in their primordial untransformed vibrations and frequencies. He is supremely conscious, no part of him is unconscious. Only man has the ability to master and to radiate all seven octaves of vibration, as the nervous centers corresponding to the seven octaves of transformed and untransformed creative power exist in his nervous system. On the other hand, he is only able to radiate vibrations on the levels on which he has become conscious, because until he becomes conscious on a given level, the corresponding nerve centers remain in a latent condition. Thus the average human being will radiate vibrations up to the fourth plane, the genius up to the fifth, the prophet up to the sixth, and only the God-man is able consciously to radiate all seven octaves and to radiate the divine creative power, according to his own will, in its untransformed form or to transform it, to change it, and transmit it in lower, transformed frequencies. Your father's staff that you have seen consists of a material, a kind of brass that has the power of transmitting the radiation corresponding to every plane. It is so constructed that, according to the will of the user, it can transmit untransformed radiations, either diminished or amplified as desired by the user. The staff can be a blessing or a curse. This depends on who uses it. An initiated person is able to radiate, in any desired degree, all forces of creation, from the highest divine forces to the lowest ultra-material forces with this staff, because within his own being he possesses all these forces and can consciously transmit them to the staff. Out of the whole gamut of these vibrations, the human being with his organs of sense, can perceive only a part. Vibrations either above or below this part are ones he can only experience as an emotional condition. Thus, for example, he experiences the very highest divine frequencies as universal love. On the other hand, the very lowest frequencies, those of ultra matter, are lower than the frequencies which our eyes and sensory nerves perceive as matter. As they are outside our scale of sensory perception, we experience them in our emotions as hate. An initiated person will always use the staff properly and always radiate the force needed to create something good. A blessing. The ultra-material vibration he will use when necessary as an invisible, insulating, impenetrable protective wall. With the staff, the initiated can dominate all forces of nature, amplify them or neutralize them. Every creature on earth possesses these powers, but only higher form corresponding to his degree of development. He utilizes these powers too, but is not conscious of them. Or have you ever seen a person who gave thought to how it is possible to raise his feet or his arms? Or that he could, even though for only a short time, remove his whole body from the earth? By jumping? Lift your arm and observe how you do it. Isn't it true that you contract your muscles and they lift your arm? Every movement of your body is brought about with a contraction of your muscles. But what contracts your muscles? Think a minute, my daughter, what? My will, father. Right. Your will. But if I ask you what your will is, can you give me an answer? Father, I have often observed what happens when I want something. But I have only been able to notice that when I want something, I can send out a force and give this force direction. For example, as you just said, if I want to raise my arm from its relaxed hanging position, it hangs because the earth is attracting it, then this force which flows out of me through my will flows into my arm and forces my muscles to contract and through this to raise my arm. Very true, says Tahotep. By virtue of the fact that your willpower has flowed into your arm and muscles, you have conquered the enormous gravitational power of the earth on your arm. This is true when you jump too, but only for a short time, because your willpower is only greater than the earth's gravitational pull for a short time. So you see, time consumes your willpower transformed into physical power. Time does that. And space. You've used your power to raise your arm, or your body, in altitude, to remove it from the earth, hence to move it further in space. Thus you see that your power is consumed by two great factors, time and space. If you could amplify your willpower and store it within your body, you could conquer the earth's gravitational pull for a longer time and remain at a greater distance from the earth. You could glide through the air. You can't do that now because you haven't yet developed consciousness on this divine plane. The initiated, on the other hand, who are conscious on the divine plane, can draw directly on this infinite eternal source of power, without transforming it, and when they wish, float through the air just as long as they direct their willpower against the gravitational pull of the earth. The initiated person knows all vibrations and possesses consciously developed organs with which to use these powers. You know, for example, the power of thought with which we communicate telepathically. These powers too we control through a corresponding higher organ of our brain. Human beings don't even know they have such organs. The initiated is able to radiate the very highest of all powers, the divine, creative power. This is the power and radiation of life, of eternal being. The entire universe is alive and continues to exist by virtue of this power. To make conscious use of it lies only within the capabilities of the God-man, the only creature that is, in his consciousness, identical with God and radiates this power from his God-consciousness, his cosmic all-consciousness. No other creature could endure this power consciously. Every force has its materialization on Earth, and we therefore find that corresponding to all forces and vibrations there is a form of matter that has the resistive strength to endure it and transmit it, or even has the ability to store it and subsequently radiate it during a given length of time. What people call this matter is of no significance. Out of it are made the bodies of creatures and forms of manifestation corresponding to the various levels of consciousness. But this is true not only of the matter corresponding to their own level of consciousness, but also of the matter that conducts the vibrations below this specific plane of consciousness concerned. The matter of plants, for example, possesses a necessary resistive force for the vibrations of the vegetative life force, and at the same time for the vibrations of the matter, as the plant has a material body. The nerves and the bodies of animals carry within themselves the animal power corresponding to the animal level, and at the same time the vibrations of the vegetative level an octave lower, as well as the vibrations of the material plane a further octave lower. The nerves of the average human being, for example, have sufficient resistance to carry the vibrations of the mental plane as well as the transformed vibrations on each of the planes below, animal, vegetative and material. With the mental energies he thinks and is conscious on this level, with the animal energies he feels and experiences all emotional states, the vegetative streams of force give life to his body, and finally his body is built of material forces. And so it goes higher and higher up to the God-man who consciously uses all his brain and nervous centers and is able to direct the very highest vibrations of life, which has its central seat in his spinal column, without transforming them, into his nervous centers and into his body. The material of his body possesses the resistance to carry the very highest, divine force as well as, naturally enough, the transformed vibration of the other six planes of manifestation. Thus the bodies of people in the various planes of development, only appear to consist of the same matter. Actually, they are composed of different chemical elements whose resistance always corresponds to the level of consciousness of the spirit dwelling within. The fact that the body of the God-man is able not only to bear the highest frequencies but also the transformed vibrations of all other octaves, means that there must be a form of matter with the resistive force necessary to withstand and to conduct the divine creative force as well as all the other transformed frequencies of the lower octaves, without being dematerialized. Hence, the sons of God, in their homeland, invented a material, a kind of brass, of which they constructed devices for storing or radiating, either amplified or diminished, the very highest creative frequencies, either in their original or in transformed manifestation. These devices are so constructed that they keep the creative force in pure unchanged form. Consequently, over a long period, they act as a source of divine power, like life itself. Because the very highest of these devices which carries and radiates the creative force represents a perfect union, as perfect as a marriage, between the divine and the material frequencies, between God and the earth, we call this incredibly powerful conductor of force that is charged with the frequency of the divine self the Ark of the Covenant. Now you know why we keep these devices so secret. The God-man who has developed his highest abilities can use these devices with impunity, as the Ark of the Covenant contains and radiates the same force as he himself, the force which he himself is. A person on a lower level, however, if he were merely to touch the Ark, would fall over dead momentarily as if struck by lightning. The divine frequencies would instantly burn out his nerves and he would suffer a shock. The same thing happens when this frequency is liberated from its state of isolation in the spinal column and strikes one's nerves untransformed. The person or animal or even a plant concerned dies immediately. People call this kind of death a stroke. They sense that some unknown power has struck the person like lightning. This power is the river of life itself, which normally is isolated within the spinal column, or within the innermost channel in the case of plants, and normally only flows into the body in suitably transformed condition. This force only breaks out in case of sickness and causes the stroke. For the same reason, uninitiated people cannot be allowed in the vicinity of our devices. And even more, as these devices radiate the most powerful energy, we must keep them carefully hidden behind massive walls of rock providing the greatest insulation. Life energy itself has a lethal effect when it strikes a form of matter which doesn't have the necessary resistance. The matter is dematerialized, dissolved. The Ark and still other tools thus consist of a material which, without being dematerialized, can be charged with the divine creative energy. The Ark radiates untransformed creative energy and has the effect of giving life or destroying it depending on the dosage. This force has the same character of vibration as that of the human will, which is capable of conquering everything, including the gravitational pull of the earth, even though for only a short time. The Ark of the Covenant radiates this power magnified 1,000 times. And just as the earth through its gravitational pull affects matter and attracts it, we can work against the gravitational pull of the earth in every form of matter without exception and consequently overcome its weight and render it weightless for a shorter or longer period of time. When necessary, we can even do the opposite, that is work with the gravitational pull of the earth and increase the weight of an object as much as we want through the ultramaterial rays. In this way, even the greatest blocks of stone are rendered weightless for a period of time so that the largest buildings you can think of can be built with the greatest of ease, or the weight of the stones can be increased to such an extent that they sink into the earth. For example, when we want to dig a well, we don't have to dig out the earth. We simply take a stone of suitable size and increase its weight so that it sinks into the earth until it reaches the desired depth. With the help of the Ark of the Covenant, this enormous source of power, we can also transform energies devoid of matter, as for example, the rays of light, into matter. And, inversely, we can dissolve this matter and convert it to energies active during eons of time. Look at this lamp. Just as the sun itself for billions of years has been sending out rays, some of which are converted to rays of light in our atmosphere through transformations of energy. In the same way, through the matter being dissolved, dematerialized, in this lamp, energies are created which are converted to rays of light in the air. This process could continue in this lamp for ages and ages, and consequently, it would go on giving light for eons of time were it not written in the history of the earth that we shall have to leave the earth for thousands of years and destroy all our equipment. Were this not the case, the ignorant sons of men would again cause unspeakable destruction. There will be a lot in the remains of our culture which coming generations will not understand. For example, the way we get such a mirror smooth surface on even the hardest stones. The joints between them fit so accurately there isn't even a crack the size of the thickness of a hair between them. They will be greatly puzzled at how our slaves, working only by hand, have been able to cut stones so precisely. Because the sons of men make slaves of their fellow men, they will believe that we too have put slaves to work. For thousands of years it won't dawn on them that we simply dematerialize the superfluous stone on the surface and are thus able to get hairline accuracy on the edges and faces of even the hardest stones without the slightest human effort. We adjust our instruments to the desired width and depth of the stone, and everything beyond the dimensions we want is merely dematerialized. This is very simple as soon as you know the true nature of the different energies, including that of matter. But this knowledge is a blessing only in the hands of a knowing person. He knows too that love means life, and hate means death. Only initiates of the highest degree can be architects. As a matter of fact, to build with slaves we wouldn't need to be initiates. We don't work with slaves but with the forces of nature. Thanks to these instruments of ours we are able to create every form of manifestation. The manifestation depends only on how long and from what distance we put the creative energy to work. The sons of men take it for granted they can come into the temple with their sicknesses and we make them well again. Sickness means that the vibrations of the body have got out of harmony. We restore the inharmonious part of the body to its own proper vibration and the person gets well. Every organ has its own characteristic vibration. This means that every organ is as it is because it has a certain characteristic vibration, and this vibration is constantly acting within it and the maintaining it. When this vibration changes, the organ concerned becomes diseased. We can also regulate the weather on earth, making clear blue sky or, when necessary, clouds and rain. The sons of men see the lightning, hear the thunder of the pyramid and are happy because they know this means the blessing of rain. They live in the secure knowledge that the temple will take care of all their needs, their health, the rain that blesses them, and even their spiritual well-being. Father of my soul, I now ask, how do you charge this Ark of the Covenant with creative energy? Tahotep looks at me with a penetrating glance and says, I can see you already know how we charge the Ark of the Covenant. I already told you, there is only one source on earth that is able to radiate this power and that is the God-man himself. It is the duty of the high priest to charge the Ark with divine creative power. He either drives his own high power directly into the Ark or he achieves the same result with the help of the Staff of Life through converting an absolutely positive flow of power flowing from his hand at a lower vibration, conducting it through the staff and there converting it into divine creative power. For in his daily life, even the perfect God-man only radiates creative power in a transformed state. Only when his spiritual forces are concentrated and in his consciousness he is identical with God, only then does the divine force radiate in its primordial vibration. He must therefore be in a condition of cosmic all consciousness when he wants to radiate the creative force. If the uninitiated sons of men were to see him in this condition they would run away terrified, as at such times the God-man radiates such celestial, divine light that ordinary people can't stand the sight of him. If uninitiated people were to touch an initiate in this divine condition of being, they would momentarily fall over dead, just as if they had touched the Ark of the Covenant. Thus when an initiate radiates his rays of life for healing purposes, He withdraws into a state of concentration such that his radiation can be borne by people without harm. That is the power he directs to the appropriate nerve centers. He raises up to the level of creative power with the help of the staff.